Lord, for the opportunity to hear your word today. We thank you, Lord, that you spoil us. We're able to worship in peace and safety for now. And we thank you, Lord, that we're all gathered here together as a family to call on your name, to understand your word, and more importantly, to apply it in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to praise you and worship you. And we thank you in the name of your Son, our King and High Priest, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
When I was a young man, one of the monumental occurrences in my life was when my grandmother was dying. My grandmother had cancer, and as a young man, I remember her having, needing to vomit because of the cancer, and I remember the pain and anguish it caused my family, my mom, my aunts, my uncles, and friends of hers, and it really touched my heart in a way that it made me angry with God. And I felt here's a woman that was a great example to me. The things that I remember about my grandmother, even in her later age, through her 70s, working. She was a nurse and then became a home health aide and helped people. And the joke was, my grandmother used to help people that were younger than her take baths and wash. Always had a heart for people. Learned to watch sermons, because she would watch church on TV, whatever was on TV, and just had a respect for the church. And now here's the woman that was so precious in my life, died, and in a terrible way with cancer. So what we do so many times is we think we are thinking like Christians, but we're really thinking like Satan would want us to think, where we look at people in our family or people around us that are suffering, and we think there's a bad God that is hurting good people, innocent people, especially when we see disabled people. Some are blind, some are deaf, some have other problems in their body, or if they're racked with disease. But what I learned was that God many times will point out to us that there's something more than just the physical or the physical life. And what I learned later on, as I started this crusade to want to help people with cancer and devastating diseases, I saw my grandmother suffer. I didn't want anyone else to suffer. I threw myself into books on alternative medicine. Things that you're hearing about now, I was telling people 20 years ago I was an idiot. Now it's all out in the mainstream. But the point is this, I was on a wrong crusade. We don't have a problem with a bad God who gives people diseases, or sometimes he allows people to have disabilities. God allows these things to happen to teach us that there is one God, and no one in your life is to become an idol. And one of the greatest desires I know now as a parent, it's a privilege to die before your children. As the old saying goes, in times of peace, the parents die, or the father dies before the sons. In times of war, what makes it so sad, the sons die before the father many times. And what we need to focus on, everyone has their life and their calling and their place before God. And when God wants to take them, he will take them. And so many times when he removes precious people from our lives, we see, were we worshiping the person or were we worshiping God? So if a parent's taken away and the family falls apart, which is many of a parent's worst nightmare, then maybe the children were focusing on the parents too much and not enough on God. And I found an alternative medicine. I would help people. A woman would be morbidly obese. She'd lose all this weight and things were going well. And she'd go out and get a belly ring and then divorce her husband. Or I would help a man stricken with diabetes whose vision was being affected and help him get better and how he's looking good and exercising and eating right. and he's partying with every young girl out there, and no longer with his wife. And what I learned very quickly was that we have a very good God, and we have very wicked people. And sometimes, even though we don't want to hear this, and everything is about wealth and health today, the best gift God can give sometimes is a disability, is cancer, or a serious disease. Because only until he slows you down, not until he slows you down, can he talk to you. And this is one of the greatest gifts that the elderly receive that we've forgotten today. We worship 16-year-olds. But the thing that came with age was that you slow down enough in your physical body to pick up some maturity in your spiritual self. And you know, all of us here that have a sickness or have a disability, you know the way it works many times. Please, God, deliver me from this. I feel so limited. As soon as your health comes back or you're feeling a little better, you're out in the world again. And once again, God is placed on the shelf. So the physical is not the emphasis all the time. And we see this happening in the church today. It's a worship of the physical, of the lustly, of things that will pass away. So now we focus so much on bread and water and the cares of life, and the church thinks if we just do the social gospel and just feed people, they'll love God. God has been feeding people since the beginning of time, and they still hate his guts. God has been giving people a clean bill of health since the beginning of time, and they still can't stand his name, and they still hate his son. So maybe we need to listen to the word and focus on the real gifts that God gives, which will last for eternity, like real bread, real water to drink, real life, spiritual life, not a life that eventually dies out. Now, especially in this country, we're all citizens of this country. I have license to speak about America, and you are Americans, and you are going to suffer under the coming judgment, but in a different way. We'll be able to handle it. We're going to suffer because all those people we were trying to warn and give witness to and warn them that your money's not going to protect you, your good looks isn't going to protect you, Botox will not get you into heaven, liposuction will not get you into heaven, the gym and the fitness that you aspire to is not going to get you into heaven. Get close to Jesus because the nations are going to be shaken. Those who didn't listen, that's where me having a heart as a Christian, I'm going to feel it. Because no one listens many times until it is too late. Right? Just like Coney Island, everybody going about their business. Sandy hit us, and everybody's spiritual all of a sudden. Oh, thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Oh. And what happened? A couple years later, all forgot about. Everybody's, instead of praying, everybody's hustling, back to business as usual. Just like they did in New Orleans, just like they're going to do in Houston. What's the first thing people celebrate after the disaster? Mardi Gras! Come on, baby, that's a good time, bro! Come on, baby, that's... The hymns are gone. Now it's Mardi Gras. So that's the way we live. The church in America right now, the mainstream church, it is the church of the living dead. And that's the title of today's sermon, and that's what we'll be working on. It is a church of the living dead, just like your craziest horror movie about zombies. They're walking, they're moving, they're even moaning, they look like they're doing something, but they're really dead. They are spiritually dead. They pretend like they're alive, they try and say the right things, have the right type of religious service, but they are dead. Why? Because they went for the physical food and the physical water and the physical life and all the other prerequisites for life. But they have no knowledge of the spiritual, of the godly, of the food that will sustain them. Now the Bible is a very deep book, but God wrote it in a way where a child can understand it. And a genius theologian can explore its depths for the rest of his life and never get to the bottom of it. But it keeps us growing and maturing. Now, I went to eSchool Today, which is an online service for kids in school, some basic lessons. I'm going to show you how simple this is. This article is titled, The Basic Needs of Living Things. And it tells us, every living organism on Earth needs some basic things to survive. The amount, way, form, or kind of these needs vary from organism to organism. For example, water is the basic need for survival. The amount of water a frog needs to survive is not the same as the amount of water a desert cactus plant needs to survive. They all need water, but because they are different living organisms, their water needs will be different, even though they both need water to live. There are five basic needs that all living things have. They are, number one, sunlight. This is probably the most important need for all living organisms, but it is the source of all energy. It also provides heat for plants and animals. Water. Water is the medium in which living cells and tissues work. Water is also a living environment for many plants and animals. Air. Air is made up of several gases, but the two most important gases are oxygen and carbon dioxide. Without oxygen, animals will die, and without carbon dioxide, plants cannot survive. Food and nutrients. Living things need energy for function. Energy is needed to grow, reproduce, move, and to work. Think of what will happen if you stay for 3 days without food. And then a habitat with the right temperature. Too cold or too hot, every living organism needs the ideal temperature to survive, either on land or in water. And interestingly enough, when it talks about the physical creation of the universe, God mentions things. He says things like, let there be light, and then there was light. And then he speaks about water afterwards and making the right environment for life. And then after the light and then the water, what does our God bring into fruition? Food! And lots of it. For ourselves and for the animals. But the problem is, there was a fall. And things changed. And now to enter into true life, it goes beyond just water and bread and light and it's in an environment that brings life. You need a Savior. Amen. You need Jesus Christ. The church has to stop handing out canned food and hand out more Bible tracts. Amen. The church needs to stop handing out clothes and doing more witnessing. The church needs to stop handing out so much of the garbage doctrine that it contains and give out real doctrine. Amen. Like, you are a sinner. Yes. You need a Savior. Amen. You are not a very good person, right, just down on your luck, that is in a bad position with a very bad God. You are a very bad person that's in the position you are because you are a rebel and because you live your whole life for yourself.
Amen.
That's how we save lives. The Christian church in America has the greatest access to food, water, and sunlight in the history of the world. With all these prerequisites for life, we are dying. We are dying. The birth rate has collapsed. Collapsed. We are underneath the rate of replenishment. That's why they want all the immigrants to come in. That's why businesses want people to flow across the border. It's not some secret conspiracy. We're not reproducing. With all that God gave us, because we were founded as a Christian nation, especially people of European descent, and I can say this because I'm one of them, especially people of European descent, we think that our skin color made us great and not the gospel. We had all the food, all the shelter, all the clothing we needed, and now we hate ourselves so much because we've left the gospel. We don't have babies. We don't have wives. We don't build families. We watch Disney movies and pornography and sports. and were more interested in a quarterback during a football game in tight pants than our wives. And that's the position we're in. God will take the strongest people and smash them when they desert Him. And all ethnic groups will go through this. But we were on top here. And we will be made the tail if we do not repent. We are not greater than our God. We can only survive with spiritual food. No one has ever produced food like this country in the history of the world. No one. When's the last time we had a famine in modern times in this country? Never. We eat so much we're exploding. We're exploding. We are so heavy because of so much food everywhere, falling out of our pockets, out of our shirts, everywhere, but we're dying. Why? Because it's not spiritual food. Maybe you should put the hamburger down once in a while and pick up a Bible. Start eating some real food. So much light in this country. Not just sunlight and physical light, spiritual light. 3-4 Bibles on people's bookshelves at home, in their house. How many Bibles are we giving out? Oh, this community is just overflowing with people sold out to Jesus. They ignore the Word. The bread's right in front of them, the real bread, but they won't eat it. People cry and get depressed. They're not making Twinkies anymore. Nervous breakdowns. Twinkies, it's not American. This is what people cry in my life. When they canceled Twinkies, it's like someone died. We thought the country was involved in the Civil War. But that's what we focus on. Like brute beasts. Well, let's see how people are doing with all the physical needs that are met. Right? Socialism, the great experiment in the last 150 years. According to the World Health Organization, each year, approximately 1 million people die from suicide, which represents a global mortality rate of 16 people per 100,000, or one death every 40 seconds. It is predicted that by 2020, the rate of death will increase to one every 20 seconds. People, with all the food they can handle, with all the water they can drink, with all the light that they can receive, and they're blowing their brains out, overdosing on pills, jumping out of buildings, hanging themselves. Why? Well, maybe the Bible is true. Maybe we need a little more than just physical nourishment and physical life. So why isn't the church bringing this message? Why is the modern message, oh, you're going to be blessed. You know how God's going to bless you? He's going to give you more food, more water, and more material things. You know what I would say to that pastor? I live in America. I'm already more rich than 95% of the world. How fat do you want to make me? How wealthy do you want to make me? Do you want to blow me up with water? I have bottled water, filtered water, tap water, mineral water, seltzer water. There's water everywhere. You're supposed to be a church. You keep telling me about the physical. What about the real water that flows from Jesus Christ?
Amen.
That's why we're the church of the living dead. We eat and we eat and we eat and we're starving. Starving because we don't have real food. In the last 45 years, suicide rates have increased 60% worldwide. How? There's less famine and disease than ever before. Why are people killing themselves? Because you can't survive without the Creator. This is not a Christian website, World Health Organization. They don't like Christians very much. I'm just reading their statistics. So the books are not cooked in this case. Let's see with women. What's going on with the ladies? Last 25 years. Better access to jobs. More money, more money, more money. Right? Money everywhere. I don't need a man. I don't need children. I don't need God. Yeah, you don't think so? U.S. suicide rate hits the highest rate in 25 years. America's life expectancy rates are at a record high, But suicide rates are on the rise, according to a Center for Disease Control Prevention report released on Wednesday. And this continues to rise. And who has the highest rate of suicide? It's the ladies. It's exploding like never before. In the last 25 years, it used to mostly be the men. Women are killing themselves at a record rate, and it's increasing. So maybe a job and a title doesn't save you, even for the ladies. And maybe before the next real depression hits and people are really struggling, we need to open our mouths again to neighbors, friends, and family so you don't get that phone call. Cousin so-and-so got in a bathtub and brought a toaster or a radio in with him and killed himself. Well, cousin so-and-so lost 30% of their money on Wall Street the past week and jumped out the window in Midtown Manhattan. Or turned the car on in the garage. Because it's coming. It's already coming. There's been record profits. How many banksters have died, jumped out windows to serious suicides in the last couple of years? But that's what the God of this world gives you. A short life with lots of toys to play with, but you never get to enjoy them. Okay, great. We brought up a lot of things. We're not talk radio. We don't just pretend to be conservative and name all these problems and then make money off it and never give solutions. We're going to give solutions. You need food. You need water. You need life, but of a certain quality. Please turn to John chapter 6 for me. Jesus Christ, who is a pretty good authority, teaches us how we're supposed to live, what the focus of the church is supposed to be. We're not supposed to be the living dead walking in and out of a building and in our lives. We're supposed to be alive and healthy, spiritually fed, and giving this to other people through our Lord Jesus Christ. What did Jesus tell them? Now, very interesting. Jesus speaks about this in the Gospel of John after one of his miraculous feedings. He feeds the people after they sat there for a sermon, then he fed them, and then he disappeared. They're desperately trying to find them. And when they come to Jesus, this is what he says. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Then said they unto him, "What shall we do, that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he hath sent." They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, or truthfully, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then they said unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am," one of the seven I ams in the Gospel of John, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I am come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. And isn't it ironic? The Jews, when they were getting that bread from heaven, murmured amongst themselves and complained about that bread. And now the real bread is there and they're still complaining. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned that the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. And again he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am. Jesus never claimed to be God. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Amen. Wonder bread, Italian bread, hamburger rolls, Frankfurter rolls, artesian bread. It's not going to save you. You're going to eat it. You're going to be bloated. And then it's going to go away. You need the bread of life. The real bread. Stop being focused on what you can see and what you can eat. And this is what Jesus told them. Even that miraculous bread that was given to you was symbolic of me. That bread that you ate, guess what? All the people that ate that miraculous physical bread, as we say in the neighborhood, they be dead. They are dead. Wake up already. You keep asking for signs. That whole group that ate of the manna died. I'm giving you real bread, which is me. If you believe on me, you will eat and be full and live forever, and you want to reject me. And that's exactly what the church is doing today. We like to giggle at the Hebrews, at the way they treated Jesus. This modern evangelical church treats them the same way. Come on into the church. We got food. Can't get them in with the word. Tell them your pastor's doing a 10-part series, and they'll throw up. Tell them that we're having 10 weeks of a feast, just a celebration. Everybody's invited, whether you believe or not. And this place will be packed. Am I lying? So we need that bread. But the bread is Christ. It's Christ Jesus. No man shall live by bread alone.
Amen.
So it's the Messiah. You have to eat of him and his doctrine. So that's the food. We know it's a prerequisite for life. And Jesus knows that you know that. So he gives you spiritual lessons that you can understand from your everyday life. It's not complicated. We can only survive by drinking the spiritual water of Jesus the Messiah. You see what's happening in California? You see that drought? The judgment that's going on out there? Well, you can't say that. You don't know God's will. I read my Bible. When bad things happen, whether we like it or not, he's behind that too. Right?
Amen.
So there's a drought. The people are panicking. There's been a drought for the Word of God in California for probably 150 years. Nobody noticed. Now God gets serious and takes the physical water away. Why are you doing this to us? They're fasting now. They're praying now. They're scrambling now. They just had a report. The rich and famous in California are using more water during the drought than they did before the drought. So maybe the people around the country, and especially in California, should stop worshiping those in Hollywood. Maybe you should visit God as much as you visit the movie theater.
Yeah, right, right.
Just like we said with Hurricane Sandy. Yeah. Where were the rap stars and the rock stars and the hip-hop stars and the movie actors to come save us?
Yeah.
You know who came out? You know who came out to distribute the food before FEMA could get here? The church and the people that you would never visit.
That's right. Amen.
Please turn to John chapter 4. Verses 7 through 26. Jesus does something very interesting. He breaks a couple of rules here. Jesus, who really loves women, not the feminazis, who tricked you into ruining your life. What happens here? There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith of thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go. Now look at what he does. Does he offer this life right away without convicting her of her sin? Listen closely. This is the part that's overlooked. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, just like a year 2015 lady, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that saidst thou truly. Boy, that was speaker friendly by our Lord to try and sneak her into the kingdom, huh? The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. You think? Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Jesus never said he was God. I that speak unto thee am he. He sees a woman. He doesn't judge her. Jesus loves women. Jesus loves the daughters of the Father. And he wants to bring them into the kingdom. But he didn't just give her water. He didn't say, hey, do you believe in me? She said, yeah, I believe in you. You're definitely the Messiah. Come on in. Join the ministries. We'll make you a member. He said, go get your husband. So she had five husbands. And she's with a man now that's not a husband. So she was an active lady in the wrong way. Did Christ reject her because of that? No. He still invited her in when he pointed out, if you want of this water, you have to be a vessel that can hold the water. You can't be filled with holes of sin and try and hold this water.
Right.
Repent. Have your vessel, your temple fixed, and then it can hold some of this water I'm going to give you. And we do exactly that in the church. We're giving people filled with holes spiritual water to drink and declaring them clean. And then we get mad when they're walking around, they're wetting the carpet, there's water shooting out of everywhere. They never repented, they were never healed. You ever see the cartoons? They shoot a guy 12 times, drink of water, and all the water's flowing out of him. That's exactly what happens in the church. You come to an empty service every week where you're not given spiritual principles to grow. The doctrine of repentance is never taught. And this is why we have the problems we have. But we have Jesus, who not only spoke to a woman, which was not right in those days, in the way he did, but spoke to a woman who was not of his race or ethnic group. She was a Samaritan. They were looked down upon. Half Jew, half Gentile. Considered dirty. Jesus didn't care. Because it's not race, it's grace.
Amen.
Everybody's welcome to feed upon the bread and to drink of the water if you come to him with a humble heart. Doesn't care what color you are, where you came from. Doesn't care how many husbands you had. Just like this woman. Doesn't matter. Are you clean now?
Amen.
Have you come to the Son, to the cross now? So once again, yeah, we have water, but it's not Poland Spring. It's not discount water at Rite Aid. Again, it's the Messiah. The Messiah has given us real water to drink. And that water flows up inside you. It's a living spring. So guess what you do with the water that's in you when it's really flowing and you're alive? You're not the walking dead. You're a living, breathing Christian with a living faith. You go and give some of that water to someone else. That's it. So if you're not sharing the food that Christ gave you, when you're sharing a cup of noodles, that's not enough. If you're not sharing the water that Christ gave you, when you're sharing, you know, whatever, Poland Springs again, or whatever water's out there now, you're not doing enough. Anybody can give someone a piece of bread. Anyone can give someone a cup of water. Are you giving them Christ? And if you are not, examine yourself. Why aren't you? And lastly, we can only survive by basking in the spiritual light of God the Son. Let's stay in the Gospel of John. Let's go to chapter 8. We're going to read verses 12 through 20. When you look at the character of Jesus, when you look at what he really did in history, how could you have him save you and then you're a dead faith? You're walking around, you're sleepwalking, or you're double-minded? It's impossible. God gave his precious son, his only son, who was perfect, to be smashed for you and for me. How can we betray him? Starting at verse 12. So, again, if there's a problem that you have with me, as long as I'm reading the word, your real problem is with God. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisee therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I came and whither I go, because they didn't have spiritual eyes. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me, nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, but his hour was not yet come. So much for the effeminate Franco Zeffirelli Jesus, the effeminate guy who weighs 80 pounds. When Jesus spoke, and he didn't want anybody to touch him, nobody touched him. He did what he wanted until the time was come. Powerful, the Son of God. In every way, When he gave up his life, he voluntarily gave up his life. And even when the soldiers came to him, he knocked them on their rear end before he let them come and take him, to let them know who the daddy is. I'm letting you take me because the scripture needs to be fulfilled. You're not taking me because I'm weak, because I'm just letting you do it. So we have this God, a powerful God, a powerful Christ. The same way Jesus said, I don't witness by myself, it's me and the Father. It's the same way with you. What gives you the authority to witness to another wicked person the way we all were if you're speaking to them one-on-one? If you use your own words, you're the only witness. You have nothing to say to them. When you use this, now there are two. When you use these words, it is your word confirmed by the Father's word. The two witnesses that are needed. That's how we give witness to people. That's why we don't tell fancy stories and just make comic strips or these little illustrations that I came up with. I read from the Word. I am speaking the way Jesus would have me speak, and I'm using the Father's words, the words of Christ. Use this. That's why psychology doesn't work, and having a doctorate degree doesn't mean things will automatically work in changing someone. It's got to be from power on high. And we use the Word, the light, the true light. All things, as far as we're concerned, we're not getting into exceptions, deep sea creatures and caves that use hydrogen fuel to live, whatever that is. But what we can see, people need light. The sun is so important that your major type of worship, and we still see it on our own dollar bill today, is sun worship. Because the prerequisite for all of life, it doesn't matter if you have the water, it doesn't matter if you have the food, you need the sun first. But we don't worship the sun, S-U-N, we worship the sun, S-O-N, the Son of God, who is the originator of that life. So I don't care what my dollar bill says with the pyramid and the old C&I and this sun worship imagery. I care what God says. See, their sun is a physical sun from the sky. They worship the creature more than the creator. They worship the creation more than the creator. And that's what we have. But isn't it so ironic that before God crushes the dollar bill, as he continues to crush economies around the world, the most powerful symbol of money, the American dollar, has a symbol of sun worship on it? You think God's not laughing? What's that little pyramid old C&I going to do for you now? Who's going to save you, Jesus Christ or the Isle of Horus? Good luck. Good luck with the paper with green ink on it. So go for real life. You eat the bread of life, you drink the waters of life, and you accept the light that's given to you by the Father. When there's light, there's no darkness. People don't plan to mug people and do certain things and want to be seen. They want to do things in darkness. Even the wicked things that we have done in our lives, isn't it always in a place of privacy or darkness? Only insane people would do the things that I have done and that you have done that are wrong in public. Right? You don't walk into the middle of a two-way street and show everybody you sin. But when light is placed on that sin, it's revealed. And in your prayers, when you humbly pray, you can have victory over these things through Christ. You don't have to be trapped. Christians are no better of ourselves than other people. The difference with me, I sin just like the man next to me, but instead of making excuses for it, I repent. I'm ashamed. I get on my knees, I ask Jesus, give me your light, Lord. Shine your light on the darkness that's still in this flesh and make me see things for what they are. That's it. Now we'll continue in this because the church has become weak. We went from a place that gave people spiritual gifts, and we were the light set on a hill, the city set on a hill, the light, the lampstand. But we've taken that light, we've shoved it under the bed. And now we sell them everything, all types of trinkets and all types of schemes and man-made doctrine, and we don't point them to the true bread and the true water and the true light. Let's get back on track. Jesus Christ deserves the worship. Let's not worship our family, our people, husbands, wives, whatever. Don't worship your children. A lot of children worship today. As if kids are just going to be so much better off with an iPhone, an iPad, and all the toys. We have the most spoiled generation we've ever had. And look at how they've turned out. They have everything. Let's give them the Bible. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you, Lord, that you continue to be with us today. We thank you, dear God, that we do have real food that your Son gives us. We pray, Lord, that the world that is killing itself, people that are eating physical bread, drinking plenty of physical water, and have plenty of sunlight and sunshine and vacations, are blowing their brains out. They're killing themselves because they don't have the light of Christ. And Satan has trapped them in a snare of self-worship and self-preservation. We pray, dear God, before the judgments get worse, that you would give all of us a heart of repentance, especially in the church, that the church would be your bride who is faithful and alive, and not a church of the living dead. Amen.
Amen. Amen.